Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And today, we have a special edition of Drive Time Sports coming up. Now, this Saturday, in Salt Lake at the Utah State Fair Park, Fierce MMA's fourth card, Reverence, will take place. And anytime it's fight week, we bring you a special edition of the show. We'll feature several fighters that'll be featured on this weekend's card. And of course, we'll be joined by Cody Bunderson. He's the owner of Fierce MMA and of course the promoter of the local promotion. Cody is actually joining us right now over the telephone to get things rolling here on this special edition of the show. Cody, as always, I appreciate you taking out the time and joining us on air.
Yeah, for sure, Jordan. I love everything about your show and love the opportunity to come and chat with you again.
Well, we love getting you and the fighters on, especially when it's fight week. I know it's a very exciting time for you guys, and this particular card is taking place up north. That's why you're not in studio. You're joining us over the phone today, but just like we have in the past, we're going to bring on multiple fighters throughout the show today and kind of preview this event that's going down on Saturday. Great card once again for Fierce MMA. You guys continue to get bigger and bigger, it seems like, each time out.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we're started out small, still relatively small, but, you know, we're growing, you know, just as kind of the fighters grow and every business grows, we're learning from every, you know, one of our past shows and really looking to make this the top MMA promotion in the state.
Now, for you guys, you've done the first three cards here in Price, so you step out of your comfort zone a little bit and you head up north. I'm sure that's a little bit of a different vibe, especially for you being the owner and promoter of this card.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the we have an opportunity up here to showcase a lot of the fighters, which, you know, when we fight down in Price, you know, a majority of the fighters do come from Salt Lake, you know, with the reason being that a lot of the top gyms and a lot of the gyms in the state are up in the kind of Salt Lake, you know, valley and surrounding areas. So it's a chance for, you know, kind of their fans to, you know, not to have to travel so far and to watch them kind of showcase their skills and not to come down and stay the night or worry about traveling through the canyon or anything like that.
Now, it's going to be at the Utah State Fair Park. Tickets are on sale right now. The doors are going to open at 5:30, and the matches will follow shortly after. And I know we're going to talk to some of the fighters, go over the complete card, but you guys have, what, 10 fights on this card, right?
Yeah, I have 10 fights. You know, we had originally, I think we were up to 13 or 14, but, you know, it was the nature of the beast. You know, fighters get injured, things happen, and we ended up with 10 solid fights on the card, which I am definitely thrilled about.
Well, let's start by talking about the main event. And I know we're going to talk to both Mike Hamill and Ray Sawyer in just a bit. Mike Hamill's unbeaten as a professional at 4-0. You have Ray Sawyer coming in at 1-1. This will actually be for a belt. I know you guys had a championship belt on the line the last time out. And so this is going to be the main event that people are gearing up for, featherweight title on the line.
Yeah, you know, props to Ray Sawyer. He stepped up basically on about 2 weeks' notice to take this fight. We originally had a Samson Fulma bout. He's fought on our show before. He was 4-1, fighting Mike Hamill. And because of Samson's father passing away recently, you know, he had to be there for his family. And so my condolences to him and his family. But Ray Sawyer, man, this kid is, he's down to fight anywhere, anyone, anytime. And he's a tough kid at that. So, you know, I'm actually, stylistically, you and I were talking for a second beforehand about this fight. I think he's going to give Mike Hamill, he wants then some. Would not surprise me one bit to see Ray go home with this belt as well.
As far as the title fights go, I mean, if we go back to the last card, the excitement and the anticipation and the buildup between that fight between Mike Jones, I know it didn't quite work out as well as we would have liked for Mike. But I mean, there was so much excitement building around that because we had local guys. Does this main event, does it pack the same punch as the main event on your guys' third card?
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, Mike coming from the MMA lab, training with like Benson Henderson and a ton of top UFC guys down there. I mean, the kid comes from a phenomenal camp, has a great wrestling background in high school, and also he wrestled collegiately. And Ray Sawyer, you know, he was a state champion here for West Jordan. The kid has, you know, pro boxing experience and had a really good amateur career. I think he was 5-2 or 6-2 as an amateur. So, you know, he won one as a pro. Like this kid, you know, he's looking to make this career as well, and he's going to bring it come Saturday night. And you know, stylistically, I'm just super excited about this fight. I think it's going to be fireworks.
We're going to continue to talk about the card again a little bit later on in the show, but Cody, before we end this particular segment, I want you to go ahead and talk to me about some of the other fights on this card that excite you and that the spectators are definitely going to be pleased to see.
Well, for sure. You know, on our co-main event, we have Liam O'Neill out of Jeremy Horn's Elite MMA Foreman. He's going to be battling a tough dude out of Colorado named Austin Jones. Austin had a really good amateur career. I think he was you know, around 6-1, 7-1, and he's 3-3 as a pro. But from what I hear about this kid, you know, he's super athletic, talented, well-rounded. And Liam at 4-1 is he's going to have definitely his biggest test of his career. We have a female fight on the card, Mally Rahiman, who's fought on our show, made her debut earlier this year down in Price with us. She's going to be battling a super tough girl named Brittany Boone out of Colorado. Brittany's, you know, coming with his athlete teammates to Austin Jones and another teammate, Randy Roland, who's going to be fighting Jordan Marriott. So three people from the Factory X Muay Thai out of Colorado, which is another phenomenal camp. That's a great matchup to watch. Nate Owens and Daniel Ariano, they're doing a catchweight at 130 pounds, both undefeated amateurs. Something's got to give, but those two both have heavy hands for being so little. Really good boxers, you know, good kickboxers, and that one right there could be fight of the night for sure.
A lot going down again this Saturday. It's going to be at the Utah State Fair Park in Salt Lake. It'll be the fourth fight on the Fierce Fighting Championship promotion, Reverence. And again, that's going to be this Saturday. You also are going to be able to watch this at KOALITV.com. We'll go into the logistics of that in just a moment. Cody, I know we got pretty much a whole hour planned with you and with fighters, so let's pause for a quick commercial break. We'll come back and we'll get rolling.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right, more coming up here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Special edition of the show whenever it's fight week for Fierce MMA. We always dedicate an entire show talking about the upcoming event. And this Saturday, again, at the Utah State Fair Park in Salt Lake, it'll be the fourth card, Reverence for Fierce Fighting Championship. And it features the main event for the featherweight belt. Ray Sawyer will go toe-to-toe with Mike Hamill, and we're going to bring on both fighters here in just a moment. Cody, let's start by talking about Mike Hamill. Here's a guy that's 4-0. And he was originally scheduled for this bout, right?
Yes. He's been on the card since day one for the featherweight title.
And again, this is going to be a fight scheduled for five-minute rounds. It is a title fight. With that being said, I mean, you've been in a situation like this before. Does that benefit Mike, or is it kind of at a disadvantage knowing that he's been set for this fight for a while, then you have Ray Sawyer who's stepping in?
Yeah, it's. I think that Mike Hamill will definitely have an advantage, you know, going through a full fight camp, you know, training to go full all five-minute rounds. That being said, you know, Ray Sawyer, he's up here, he's at elevation, you know, I know the kid's always in the gym, always working, always looking to get better, so I don't think he was, you know, out of shape or anything by any means for this, but had he gone through a full fight camp, you know, dedicated to a championship fight for five rounds, you know, no. But so Mike might have a slight advantage in that area. But, you know, it's going to be a competitive fight. I guarantee you that. Ray brings it every time. I've seen him fight a couple different times. you know, Mike actually fought the same night that I fought down in Arizona and won his featherweight title down there. So this would be Mike going for his second pro title, you know, as a pro. So it's going to be interesting. You know, stylistically, it's a different matchup from the original fight where Samson, you know, was a really good striker, but also really fights well off of his back. Now Mike's going to be stepping in against another wrestler with some heavy hands. So, you know, stylistically, it's kind of a mirror image of each other in Mike versus Race.
Well, with that being said, let's bring in Mike right now. Mike Hamill joining us over the phone. He's got an unbeaten professional record, and again, he'll be stepping into the cage this Saturday to take on Race Sawyer for the featherweight belt. Mike, it's great to get you on today. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm great to be here.
Mike, let's start by talking about Race Sawyer. Cody and I were talking about this at the beginning of the segment. A little bit difficult for you. I mean, you anticipated going toe-to-toe with someone completely different, and I'm not sure how much you know about your opponent, but it's very short notice.
Yeah, you know, I completely trained my whole fight camp dealing with kind of a traditional stand-up guy who was also very experienced on the ground. The guy I was going to fight had 4 submissions, so my fight camp had kind of been based towards him. And, you know, unfortunately we got some bad news about his father, and so Race luckily stepped in to save the card, and I'm thankful for him because now I still get a chance to go fight. But yeah, I mean, I don't know much about him, but it doesn't change anything in my mind at all. I just kind of look at this camp as a growing experience. I got better in a lot of areas that I needed improvement in. And so all in all, it worked out. Mindset's still the same.
For you, this would be your second belt. I mean, what does this do to the professional resume to add a belt? And again, with this being your second opportunity in as many fights to add another one to your resume.
I mean, yeah, it's great. The belt's awesome, but right now it's just about getting fights. I want to get fights anytime I can. And it's about being out of state. This is my first time fighting out of state. And so, you know, get out of my comfort zone a little bit. I got a pretty big fan base back in Arizona. I get a lot of support at all my fights. So, you know, it'll be a little bit different walking into his home crowd. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully by the end of the night, the Utah crowd's loving them. Some Magic Mike.
Well, you mentioned kind of stepping out of your comfort zone. What are some of the things that you've done going into this fight to prepare you mentally for what, you know, the task at hand?
Well, you know, so I trained down in Glendale, Arizona at the MMA lab, and one of the premier gyms in the world. And so we go through a typical fight camp for whether it's a 3-round fight, and this one was a 5-round fight. So this was one of my first times actually getting in the cage, doing 5 rounds. And the way we do our fight camps down there is so professionally handled. We have a strength and conditioning coach that puts us through our weight training, our conditioning workouts. We've got our head coach got his black belt from the Gracie, so that's about as good as that got. And then I just recently linked up with the lab got a new striking coach in Eddie Cha. And so, you know, everything was just handled super professionally. The rounds I was getting, the people I was going with was super well structured. So it's just been great being a part of that team down there because I walk in, tell them who I'm fighting, when I'm fighting, and they lay out the layout of the whole fight camp. So it ended up working out well.
Now, Mike, you and I were talking off the cuff. I mean, you come from a wrestling pedigree. Your father was a wrestler. You grew up a wrestler. So why MMA? What was it about this particular sport that kind of struck the brain for you to try to make a career out of it?
Well, you know, I'd always kind of had an itch to fight, and I actually wrestled in college, and I majored in elementary education, and as my college wrestling career was kind of come into a halt, I was like, well, I don't know if I'm really ready to get in the classroom and start teaching the youth yet. I think I'm be pretty decent at getting punched in the face. So I called my college wrestling coach and said, hey, I'm interested in fighting where should I go? And he recommended me to the MMA lab, so I called John Crouch, and the rest has been history.
If we look forward to this fight on Saturday, I mean, tell me what you would say to your opponent, Ray Sawyer, if you were preparing to go toe-to-toe with Mike Hamill. So you're Ray Sawyer's coach. I mean, how do you prepare for Mike Hamill?
You better be ready to keep a high pace. I don't think there's too many people that can keep up with my pace, my aggression, my work ethic in there. I don't take too many backward steps. I'm there to fight, and I make it one. I make sure my opponent can feel my presence.
Well, you definitely have the age advantage. You're 24 compared to Race, who was 33. Does that play a factor in a fight that's going to go, you know, could potentially go five rounds?
You know, I don't think so. I train with Benson Henderson, who he's in his 30s, and let me tell you, that guy could get off vacation being gone for a month and a half, doing nothing but eating donuts if he wanted to, and he could come in and do five rounds harder than anybody I know. So I don't think the age is a factor.
Mike, before I let you go, one last question. Have you envisioned in your mind how this fight is going to take place? I mean, I'm sure you have at this point, right? Exactly how you want this fight to play out. And if you have, how does it end?
Yeah, that ref's going to be pulling me off of him in the first or second round.
Early then, not a long fight.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to keep up with me from the get-go, and I think I'm going to fire off some shots early, and it's going to be hard for him to keep up.
Mike, it was a pleasure to get you on the show. Best of luck as you get set to potentially win your second belt going toe-to-toe with Ray Sawyer on Saturday. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, hey, thank you guys again for having me on, and I hope to see everybody out at the fight.
With that being said, Cody, we just talked to Mike. Let's talk about Ray Sawyer here for just a second. I mean, you mentioned it. It's got to be difficult going into a camp, preparing for five rounds at 5 minutes apiece on such short notice. But from a promoter standpoint, you've got to be thrilled to get somebody of this quality in to replace someone that is well-known in for a title fight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, It's great, you know, because I just in chatting with Race over the last couple of weeks, man, this kid is just, you know, he loves it. You know, this is what he loves to do. This is, you know, his passion. And I said, he is not afraid to fight literally anyone, anytime, anywhere. You know, and he sees it as an opportunity. You know, he's, a door opened for him, and now it's a huge opportunity for him to step in and potentially get a pro belt under his wing. So, you know, he's not looking at it as him, you know, being at a disadvantage at all, but rather an opportunity for himself.
What was it about Race that made you think, okay, here's an adequate replacement in this fight?
Honestly, he was, you know, when we started throwing it out some fillers to some fighters, you know, there was no hesitation with him. He's like, yeah, where do I sign? You know, I don't care if it's for, you know, if I'm fighting for pennies. The kid just, he wants to fight. He's that competitive, and he truly believes in himself that he's going to go out there and win this featherweight title.
Well, let's bring in Race right now. Again, he is joining us over the phone. He's part of the main event, going toe-to-toe with Mike Hamill for the featherweight championship. Race, hey, it's great to get you on today as well. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Definitely. Race, we'll dive right into it so we can get familiar with what you bring to the table. You're a professional boxer as well. I mean, you like to mix things up a little bit. You have a wrestling background, but you're also a professional boxer, and now you're stepping in the cage, only your third professional MMA fight, and you have a chance to add a belt to your resume.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited. Like you said, I mean, I started off as a wrestler. You know, so I stepped into an MMA gym, and all the strikers had their way with me, so I had to make some adjustments and figure out, you know, what to do on my feet. And I was really lucky to get, you know, a good boxing coach with Tim Carroll, and he's taken a lot of time, and it, you know, got to the point where it's like, hey, let's see how I do in a straight-up boxing match. And I have a lot of fun going in there and throwing punches, so it's a good time.
What's the biggest difference in your mind going from boxing to MMA? I mean, what has been the most difficult transition, and what's been the easiest transition for you?
I guess the easiest transition would be to doing grappling and jiu-jitsu. You know, once I kind of learned to get comfortable off my back and, you know, kind of realized that I've been doing this since seventh grade, it got pretty comfortable. Striking was, you know, a little bit of adjustment. I mean, everybody kind of had those scraps in middle school and high school, and but those were, you're lucky to get, 30 seconds in before somebody breaks it up. So doing, a 3-minute round with a professional boxer, you kind of learn that your head is a pretty, pretty big target. So you kind of learn to make those adjustments and keep your head moving and keep your feet moving and try and hit them more than they hit you.
Well, you'll be going toe-to-toe with someone that's definitely got the wrestling background of Mike Hamill. He's been a wrestler pretty much his entire life. And talking to Cody, he said that one of the things that fascinates him about you is that you're always willing to fight. I mean, where does that mentality come from?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a little brother, right? So the big brother always, let me know who's in charge around the house. And so I had to be ready to go. So I got to give my hats off to my big brother Sage for, beating me up for all those years. But, it's always, this sport for me is about having fun, and it's more fun to be in the game than in the bleachers. So I just have always been eager to take as much, as many fights and just get as much experience as possible.
For someone who's never been in your position, tell me what it's like walking to the cage or walking to the ring moments before your fight.
My first time I fought MMA, so it's my first amateur fight, I'm in the back and I'm just like feeling so excited. I wanted to do this sport for a long time. I remember watching Ultimate Fighter in 2005. And just being like, man, that looks like the best rush you could find. And, I got busy. I got into school. I got married. I started making babies. And so, it took 10, 15 years later before I had time on my schedule that I could start actually participating. And, when I got that moment for the first fight, there was lights. Yeah. And it was just, I just had a blast. It was almost a an out-of-body experience in a way where I was watching myself, do something I've always wanted to do.
Let's talk about your opponent, Mike Hamill, undefeated as a professional. And again, the belt will be on the line in this particular matchup for you guys, the featherweight belt. What do you know about him and stepping in on such short notice? I mean, is that your advantage or his advantage?
Well, on paper, I shouldn't be in this fight. On paper, it's kind of a bad matchup for me. He's stronger than I am. He's better looking than I am. So really, I'm kind of screwed in a lot of ways. But the good news is for me is that I'm just a little bit crazy, and I love to have, these type of experiences where I do have my back up against the wall. I am the underdog. So when I step into the cage, I'm going to be in a good spot. And, the pressure's on him. He better come out and put a whooping on me or he's going to look bad. So I'm excited for that situation where, I can only go anywhere but up.
Well, and try to create as much chaos as possible early on, I guess, would benefit you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my mom would agree with you that I'm good at making chaos.
Mike, before I let you go, I want a prediction. How does this fight end?
I'm going to take the W, and my guess is I'm going to take the W home in the third with a submission.
Third in the submission, not a knockout. You're going to go for the submission.
Oh, he'll be putting me on my back. I'll be taking arms and necks home with me.
Great to catch up with you. Best of luck on Saturday. Looking forward to the main event.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, Cody. Well, we talked to both Mike Hamill and Ray Sawyer, kind of a preview of the main event going down this Saturday at the Utah State Fair Park in Salt Lake. This fight in itself seems like it's going to be worth the price of admission.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This one, in my mind, is, probably going to be in fight of the night, in my opinion, just looking at it on paper. It'll be, well worth your 30 or your $50. So get your tickets, come watch these two go toe-to-toe and see who gets that belt.
We've got to pause for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up here in just a moment. We're going to continue to talk Fierce Fighting Championships Reverence, which is going down this Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk about Nate Kersley. He'll be going toe-to-toe with Bobby King, and that's coming up next. That'll be a fight scheduled for 3 5-minute rounds. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Real name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. It's a Tuesday edition of the show, and we are continuing to preview the big fight card this Saturday. It's going to be in Salt Lake at the Utah State Fair Park, the fourth card under Fierce Fighting Championship. It's Reverence. And last segment, we talked about the main event. We talked to Mike Hamill, and we talked to Ray Sawyer. We have Cody Bunderson joining us over the telephone right now. Cody not in studio with us because this fight card happening up north, it's the first time that Fierce Fighting Championship has left the local area. Cody, we'll dive right into this next fight. We're going to be joined by Nate Kersley here in just a moment. He'll be going toe-to-toe with Bobby King. This is in the lightweight division, 155, Kersley King. King actually has quite a history with some of the other fighters that will be featured on this card.
Yeah, Bobby King, you know, he's already went, and him and Race Sawyer already went toe-to-toe, and Race getting him the better of him in that matchup. But Bobby King's a tough guy. He's a really tough guy. Had a great amateur career. But he's going to be safe stepping up against Nate Kersley, and Nate's a super tough kid. He wrestled for UVU. He trains with Ramsey Nijem over at Ultimate Combat Training Center. He gets a lot of work in with Court McGee as well. And so Nate's going to be well prepared for this fight. And, man, this is, now that I start thinking about it, I mean, this could be fight of the night as well. I mean, there's several fights on the card that has potential for that. But this one right here, for a pro fight, you couldn't ask for a better fight.
First thing that stands out to me when I take a look at this fight on paper, you look at the tail of the tape. Kersley's coming in at 6'2". Bobby King comes in at 5'9". Big height advantage for the wrestler. What kind of advantage does that give him in this fight?
He's going to be able to use his punches to set up some takedowns and, you know, kind of keep Bobby at range where Bobby wants to get in there and land some heavy hands on him. And so I think Nate, you know, is going to possibly use that length to set up some good punches to takedowns. But I know Nate's he's not afraid to stand and bang, too. Like, he's, in talking with him, you know, he's going to let people know and also show that he's not just a wrestler. He's a mixed martial artist, and he's put in the time to, you know, develop his hands, his kicks, his clinch, couple that with his wrestling background, makes him for a real dangerous fighter.
So let's bring in Nate Kersley right now. Again, he'll be going toe-to-toe with Bobby King, lightweight showdown at 155 pounds. Hey, Nate, first off, I definitely appreciate you making time for us here today. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you, too.
Hey, it's always interesting to get athletes from, you know, different fields and at different levels here on the show. I mean, you have a solid wrestling background. You actually wrestled a couple of years at UVU. Cody mentioned that earlier. And then I know your wrestling career went on for another year past UVU. So it's not as if you're new to combat sport. I mean, it's fair to refer to wrestling as a combat sport, right?
No, I agree. It's wholeheartedly it's a combat sport, and it's part of martial arts. It's one of the aspects of martial arts. When you're in the cage, wrestling is a huge aspect of fighting.
How difficult has it been to make the transition from wrestling to full-time MMA?
The transition, as far as the grind is concerned, that hasn't been hard at all, just because, I don't know, that's kind of the wrestling mentality, is that grind, that perseverance and whatnot. The hands and stuff, boxing, I've been doing this for a few years. I've been on and off for like 8 to 10 years. And, it hasn't been too hard, just working on my hands, trying to get better at kickboxing and jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu was a little bit easier to transition into, just because wrestling and jiu-jitsu are very similar. Obviously, like, I'm not used to initially I wasn't used to being on my back. Now I'm a lot more comfortable in the jiu-jitsu game, so...
Just by talking to you as little as we have and looking at your background in wrestling, I'm going to say that if Nate Kersley makes the move to MMA 10 to 12 years ago, you're an immediate force. I mean, today the MMA game has evolved, and you're seeing so many different disciplines now implemented inside the cage that make it very difficult for not only you, but of course for your opponent as well. I think that's a fair assessment, right? I mean, and with that being said, you've had to adapt your game.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, fighters are more than one-dimensional now. I mean, you can't just be a wrestler and expect to get a takedown every fight, because everyone's training to defend a takedown. So, yeah, you have to be well-versed in all the aspects of fighting. I mean, that's why I wake up in the morning. I box this morning, and I'm going to go wrestle and do jiu-jitsu in a little bit. And yeah, you gotta work on every single aspect. And even you can see that with Conor McGregor. You know, you can kind of see through his evolution. You know, he was super good boxer, but, you know, even in this fight, you beat Chad Mendes, you know, but you got taken down, you got beat up a little bit, same thing with Nate Diaz, but now no one's taking him down, you know, because his game's evolved, he's worked on a lot of his wrestling, he has some of the best coaches in the world, too, so that will help. But, yeah, everyone's realizing that you can't just be a boxer, you can't just be a wrestler, you have to be a full mixed martial artist, and that's where the game's going now, so...
Yeah, definitely. And with that being said, I mean, you're mentioning some UFC fighters. You know, you mentioned Nate Diaz, you mentioned Conor McGregor. You actually have a training background with Court McGee as well, right?
Yeah, I trained with Court McGee and Ramzi Nijem as well. He's a UFC vet. I mean, I've been around for a while. I've trained with Ramzi as well. This kid named Steven Seiler, he trains out in Orem still. And Josh Berkman comes around every once in a while. So, yeah, there's some big names that I've had the honor of training with, so...
We've had Court McGee on the show multiple times. I've had the pleasure of interviewing Court a couple of times as well, away from the show. The one thing that stands out to me with this guy, he just never stops. I mean, his stamina, his endurance is unbelievable.
No, I mean, that's the way he trains, too. I mean, he's always going, man. He's also one of the motivations for me, too. I mean, he pushes me as well, and I don't know, I have a lot of great things to say, and not only to say, but just to show, you know, his presence and his perseverance is definitely kind of it rubs off, you know.
I was gonna
off on me and everyone around him and everything. So
I was gonna ask you, how contagious is that when you see someone like Court McGee go all out the entire time?
Oh, it's super contagious. I mean, we'll definitely go at it. Ramzi and him go at it. I mean, it's just something when that level of energy is brought like that. I mean, if you're a competitor, at least I consider myself a competitor. I'm my friend Ramzi Nijem, he considers himself a competitor. You try to meet that, you know, or you try to exceed it, actually. So it's really nice to have to train with a guy like that. It's just all to the wall, you know. He's an amazing, amazing fighter.
If we look at your amateur career and even your professional career, you're still very young in this sport. I mean, 1-0 as an amateur, 0-1 as a professional. We'll talk about that loss that you took as a professional. It was a decision in 3 rounds. What did you learn from that fight?
You know, not to be hesitant. I was mesmerized by a lot of kind of stuff he was doing with his hands. I didn't leave it all out there. I was kind of complacent, being on my feet. I didn't force any takedowns. I mean, I got a takedown. I got 2 takedowns, but I didn't really force anything. I was kind of hesitant. Didn't throw my punches as smooth as I could have. It had been like 6 years since I stepped in the cage, you know, and I had a little bit of cage rust. He was 13-1 as an amateur, and I was 1-0. I mean, he's been fighting previously as well, so, and he's one of the probably better lightweights in Utah. So I just learned I definitely got to leave it out there and just not worry about getting knocked out, not care about anything, just let my hands go. And that's how this next fight's definitely going to be. I don't really have anything to lose, so I'm just going to throw them up, just going to go for it.
You're going toe-to-toe with a undefeated professional in Bobby King, at least according to my statistics here. He's undefeated. So with that being said, what do you know about your opponent?
You know, I don't know too much. I know he throws leather. He likes to stand. His ground game, I hear, is not too great. But, you know, honestly, at the end of the day, I don't really care about what he's going to do. I'm just focusing more on what I want to do. I want to put a lot of pressure on him, ping him up, take him down, hopefully ground and pound and end it. So.
Well, it's one of those deals where you probably don't, it sounds like you don't watch a lot of tape on your opponent then.
You know, I've looked for a few fights of his. I've only found a couple, and they're like from like 2009. So I haven't been able to see him recently. So that's the thing about local fighting is like you can't just go onto, you know, UFC Fight Pass and watch your fighter. You know, like sometimes, you know, it's hard to find that
right
at video footage.
Well, Nate, I'm going to put you on the spot. I got to ask every fighter this before we close it out. How's this fight end?
I'm going to win. I feel like I'm going to probably choke him out.
Chokehold.
Yeah. I'm going to, because, you know, I train with those guys like Court, Ramzi, guys like that, to where, like, I'm in awesome shape. I know he's going to be in awesome shape, but I'm not only in awesome shape, but I'm in wrestler shape and in wrestler mentality. I'm going to take it to the deep waters, you know, get real, real gritty, and just hopefully, I mean, the way I imagine it, just taking his back, beat him up, taking his back and choking him. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I wouldn't mind knocking him out on my feet, too. I think about that. I think about all the aspects, but, you know, I reckon I'll choke him.
Well, as Cody said, this has the potential to be the fight of the night, which I know that in itself, coming from Cody, means that a lot of people are anticipating it. I am definitely one of those people, Nate. I really appreciate you taking out the time to join us on the show today, and best of luck on Saturday.
Hey, yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So, Cody, we just heard from Nate Kearsley. Again, he'll be going toe-to-toe with Bobby King. You said before we brought Nate on that you think that this could actually be a fight of the night candidate once again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, both these guys, you know, have the potential to be the top 155-pounder in the state. And, you know, they're going to clash, and we're going to see who gets the better of who. But, I mean, man, that's another fight that just sends chills down my spine just thinking about it.
I'm always interested to see a wrestler, especially someone that has a decorated wrestling background, step into the cage. To me, it's always kind of been like, you don't know what's going to happen in a fight like that. I mean, it can go so many different directions.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it can be to, you know, a downfall, and you know, if he can't get that takedown, and you know, gets, you know, frustrated and has to stand and bang, you know, does he get beat up, or you know, does he use that wrestling, and is he take the person down, and did he, you know, ground and pound or submit him? You know, only, I guess we'll see this Saturday, but, you know, I expect a super competitive fight between these two, and we're going to see this fight go in so many different directions, from, you know, standing on the feet to, you know, head kicks to takedowns to, you know, great grappling. I mean, this fight is literally, it's going to take place in a lot of different areas.
Well, we got to pause again for a quick commercial break. Again, we just heard from Nate Kearsley. He's going toe-to-toe with Bobby King at Fierce Fighting Championships Reverence. That's going to be this Saturday at the Utah State Fair Park. Cody, when we come back, we're going to flip. We're going to talk about a woman fight, and this is Mally Rahimian going toe-to-toe with Brittany Boone. Now, Mally actually has quite the... she's been a part of the last two cards. She was a ring girl the last time out, but before that, she had a fight, and it was really quick work. I'm sure this is going to be a really interesting fight, and if I'm not mistaken, it's the only female fight on the card, right?
Yeah, only female fight on the card, but man, this is a fight too that is I'm super pumped about. Like, both girls are super talented. You know, they both work their butts off in the gym, and you know, they're both, the sky's the limit for both of these two. They're you know, the two girls, you know, you talk about, you think that, you know, could, you know, make a career out of this, or, you know, take it to the next level. Either one of these two have the potential to do that. And so I could not be more excited about this fight.
We'll bring on both fighters, and we'll continue to talk about that when we return here on Drive Time Sports, previewing Saturday's card for Fierce Fighting Championships Reverence right after this.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're continuing on here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, previewing the weekend fight card. Again, it will be taking place at the Utah State Fair Park. It's Fierce Fighting Championships Reverence, the fourth card underneath the promotion, and we've talked to a bunch of fighters already. We're going to switch gears just a tad bit. We're going to talk about females, because there's one female fight on this card. It'll be Mally Rahimian going toe-to-toe with Brittany Boone. Cody, you and I talk about this each time we have you on the show. The women's division gets more and more advanced by the day, and the last time I had you on, I asked you if it was a fair comparison to compare it to women's basketball, in a sense where they're just more fundamentally sound, and you actually agreed with that. You said, yeah, that's fair.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I've trained with a lot of females over the course of my career, and, man, they're technical, and they're fun to watch. And definitely the, you know, if you follow the UFC or anything, I mean, just the level, the bar has been raised, like, over the last year. You know, the women are, you know, closely catching up to the men as far as the talent that you're seeing now. Can you see it was kind of one-sided for a little while, and you know, you had a, you know, like Ronda Rousey and some fighters that were just, you know, kind of a one-dimensional, but now in the females, even at the amateur level, like, you have to be so well-rounded, and the bar is literally getting raised, like, every day, every second by the females, and it's exciting to watch.
Well, let's start by talking about Brittany Boone. She's extremely tough. You and I were talking during that last break. I mean, and just following her on Facebook and Instagram, you said, you know, just seeing her train, it's really amazing just how hard she really works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can tell. I mean, she is just constantly, you know, at the gym or doing strength and conditioning. She just, she appears to be a workhorse, and she's, I guarantee she's going to be, she's coming for blood on Saturday. But Mally's no pushover. You know, I've done a lot of training with Mally. I mean, she's phenomenal on the ground. She's really worked on her wrestling and her stand-up over the course of the last couple of years as well. So you're going to have two, you know, off of females here that are going to throw down on Saturday, and you know, it's hard. I couldn't even pick a favorite in this fight just because they're both just super talented and both work their butts off in the gym.
Well, let's start by talking to Brittany Boone. She's joining us over the telephone right now. Brittany, it's great to get you on the show today as well. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Brittany, let's talk about your opponent, Mally Rahimian. We know a little bit about her. She had a really quick outing in her first amateur fight. That particular fight took place here in Carbon County. It lasted less than 45 seconds, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I know you're kind of known as a striker. You also have a history in kickboxing as well. So preparing for this fight, I mean, what's gone into it for you?
You know, obviously, I know she won pretty quick with the armbar. She shows that she has a ground game. But with that said, I definitely have my own ground game, and I'm ready. If that's where she wants to go, we'll take it there. But I've definitely been working my wrestling, judo, and plus my jiu-jitsu.
You have 5 amateur fights right in the cage. You're 3-2. What are some of the experiences that you've picked up from those 5 fights? Some of the things that you've learned?
Honestly, I came in, obviously with kickboxing fights beforehand. So I really just explored and finding out how much better I am on the ground. I started getting to a point where I was initiating the takedowns, where I wanted to make it go to the ground. So definitely learned a lot about myself when it came to that.
Now, I was talking to Brittany, for those listeners out there that don't know too much about Brittany. I was talking to her a little bit off the cuff, and she had mentioned that she had never been to the state of Utah. Brittany fights out of Denver, Colorado. First time ever into the state of Utah, but you like to travel, and you're looking forward to this Saturday. I'm sure that's just part of the reason why.
Yes, definitely. So not a lot of amateurs, it seems like, get the opportunity to travel. It's more once you hit that pro level. But this will be my second time getting to fight outside of Colorado, and I think it's great getting that experience before I go pro, get used to the process, and just know what it feels like.
As far as the amateur process goes, how many more fights do you see taking at the amateur level before jumping up to a professional status?
You know, I kind of leave that to my coach, Mark Montoya, and my boyfriend, Brian Camozzi, to kind of let me know when they think I'm ready. I'm hoping, you know, in the next 2-3 fights, as long as everything goes well, I can get that jump.
You mentioned your boyfriend, Brian Camozzi. For those who are really into UFC, they're going to recognize that name. I mean, last month, he made his UFC debut.
Yes, he did. It's great having him. I mean, we've been dating since high school, so... just to see him develop his career and then him being there to help develop mine has been awesome.
How much has that helped you in your growth?
Oh, it's huge. Obviously, I do this for myself, but I mean, even when I'm sparring, I want to make sure I impress him and make sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing. And I mean, he's my main person that I work with. He's always holding pads for me. He's helping me day in and day out.
Cody and I talked about this a little bit before we brought you on, the growth of the women's circuit in mixed martial arts. I mean, it gets bigger and bigger every single day. I'm sure it's very neat to be a part of something that just continues to grow.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy being able to see that. I mean, like we were just watching the Invicta fight, a couple days ago, and just seeing the growth of the girls on that card and being able to see Megan Anderson, for instance, winning that title and potentially making it up to the UFC that they just added that 145 weight class. That's crazy.
All right. Before I let you go, Brittany, I'm going to give you an opportunity, I guess, to talk a little trash here. How does this fight end on Saturday night?
You know, I'm always looking for the knockout, or just really any finish in general, but I want to go in, get in there, leave as quick as possible.
Well, Brittany, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It was great to get to know you a bit. Thank you very much for the time, and best of luck on Saturday.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
Cody, we just talked to Brittany Boone. She's got more experience. I mean, she's 2-2. Mally has one amateur fight. It was a quick one. That was a couple of events back on your card. She won by armbar in less than a minute at that particular bout. And she was able to bounce back after taking a solid shot to the face as well. So even though that was a quick fight, I'm sure from a spectator and from a coach's standpoint, there's plenty of positives in that fight for Mally. I mean, bouncing back after really facing some adversity early on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, she took a hard shot, but, you know, that's part of the game, you know, and she weathered that storm. She, you know, showed resilience in that fight. And, you know, the fact that she can't take a punch, because the girl who was hitting her, I know, is has got some, you know, some length and some power and some really solid hands. And, you know, she took that punch. She took it to the ground and fought her game. So we'll see if Mally's going to be able to implement her game here on Saturday. And, you know, I expect to see Mally to probably try and get it to the ground. But, you know, but I know that, you know, if she has to stand and bang too, that she'll be comfortable on her feet and, you know, we'll be able to set it up and potentially get that takedown and get it to the ground and look for the submission.
My question to you is, in the amateur ranks, at what point in time is experience no longer a factor, or is that ever the case when we're talking about amateurs?
Well, you know, after, you know, you get probably, you know, maybe 3 or 4 fights under your belt, you know, you're probably going to start to feel more comfortable. Once, and also staying active as well, you know, not, you know, having a, you know, an amateur fight, you know, almost a year apart or 6 months apart, but, you know, really trying to stay active and trying to get comfortable in the cage and get used to the emotions that go into the fight and, you know, be able to calm your nerves and just, you know, whether it's to become where it's almost like breathing to you, you know, just going into that cage is, it's work to you, you know, it's another day at the office. And so, you know, you start to see a lot of these amateurs, you know, after, you know, 3 or 4 fights, you know, really start to emerge as themselves and kind of see, you know, what type of fighter are they going to be? Are they going to be, you know, the aggressor, this person that looks for the takedown or the head kick or the knockout? You know, you see them start to develop over a course of time, and then, you know, by their 5th or 6th fight, you know, I think they really do have an identity in what type of fighter they are.
We've got to pause for just a moment, Cody. Hang with us for just a minute. When we come back, we got to put the final touches on the show. We'll go over all the logistics of Saturday.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right, we're back in just a moment to put the final touches on the special edition of Drive Time Sports right after this.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Back to put the final touches on the special edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. One of those shows where an hour just really isn't enough. We crammed a lot in, talked to 5 different fighters that were going to be featured on the card this weekend, again at the Utah State Fair Park, its Fierce Fighting Championships Reverence. We've had the owner of the company and the promoter, Cody Bunderson, join us throughout this hour. Cody, I want you to go ahead and tell the listeners to make sure they make the trip up north and watch yet another great card that you guys have managed to assemble.
Yeah, for sure. You know, if you're looking for something fun to do to get out of the snow or the cold, or want to make a trip up north, come up to the Utah State Fair Park Saturday, January 21st. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. The fights that we have on this card are some of the most competitive fights we have to date. We have the featherweight title on the line. As usual, our VIP tickets include a drink and a meal. We're going to be at the Utah State Fair Park. You know, it's going to be an exciting show. I'm thrilled to have the card that we have put together. A lot of hard work has gone into this. And, you know, a lot of the guys from my gym are going to be up there helping out. So we have a great team that's come together and put this show together. And, you know, I'm really excited to give the Salt Lake fans an opportunity to see a lot of their fighters that have traveled down to Carbon County in the past, the opportunity to see, you know, their favorite fighters fight in their backyard.
it is important to mention, you and I were talking about this. By no means is Fierce Fighting Championship done here locally. I mean, you guys plan to jump back and forth, right? That's the plan for the future?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Our next show is definitely going to be down in Carbon County. You'll see another, you know, 2 or 3 shows down in Price this year. So we're by no means are done with Carbon County. You know, I absolutely love putting on the fights down there. I love the venue down there. I love the people, the crowd, the fans. You know, there's anything more energetic than the fans that we have down in Price. So we'll see what Salt Lake has to bring, but I think it's going to be tough to beat the crowd from down Carbon County.
And for those who are unable to travel to Salt Lake, you can watch the fights at KOALITV.com. It's always such a pleasure to team up with Fierce Fighting Championships. Cody's kind enough to let me do the play-by-play call, and we'll have Reed Romney with me. We've had him here on the show a couple of times as well, so we'll bring you the action there. But Cody, there are other avenues for people to stay up to date on what's happening with Fierce Fighting Championship. You guys are very active online as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you can check us out on FierceFightingChampionship.com. You know, follow us on Facebook at Fierce Fighting Championship and our Instagram, Fierce MMA. So it's, you know, we try to stay, you know, really active with all of our posts and everything and respond to our fans and fighters. And, you know, I also like to give a huge shout out to our sponsors, Filter Service and Testing Corporation, Wilco Supply, Tougher Gym, Pine Top Medical, Auto Farm, and I think that's it. But you know, we're super excited to have, you know, our sponsors back on board again, and we'll be seeing everybody shortly back down in Price here within a month or two.
Cody, I really do appreciate you taking out the time to set up the fighters for the show today and join me on air. I always look forward to talking with you Fight Week. It's an exciting time, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate it, brother.
Always love doing the specialty show with Cody, that's for sure. Hey, coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, live coverage will begin. USU Eastern on the road to take on the Salt Lake Community College Bruins. Myself, alongside Chris Winfrey, will bring you the play-by-play call. And again, live coverage will get underway at 7 p.m. You can also stream the game live at CastleCountryRadio.com. We're back to the regular schedule tomorrow. I will catch you then, same time, same place. Until then, be safe. I am out.